Welcome to your five for the day. There's one story in particular in the Bible that makes me smile, and it's one about my namesake, the Apostle Peter. Peter is sleeping in a prison cell. It was to be his last sleep, as his head was to roll the following day. His right wrist was chained to one guard. Should he roll over, his other hand was shackled to the guard on the left side. It's highly unlikely that any of the guards were spindly beanpoles or wimps either. The slightest muscle movement of Peter would rattle the chains and the guards would jump to duty. Escape was an utter impossibility. Stationed at the cell door were two more guards, standing tall and fully equipped to brutally crush and foil any attempted escape. Planning escape under such intrusive monitoring would be futile. Even if Peter was able to slip out of the shackles and get past the two other guards at the cell door, he couldn't be home free. There was another level of security that was even more imposing and more impossible: the huge iron gates that secured the prison compound. Peter wasn't even thinking about trying to escape. He was sleeping. No one could escape such a secure lockdown. Peter may have been sleeping soundly, but his Christian friends in another part of the city certainly were not. They'd organised an all-nighter, one of those unscheduled, non-stop prayer meetings. So Peter was kept in prison, but the Bible tells us that earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, the prison cell burst into light, and Peter felt a jab in his side. "Get up fast," was the command, and Peter responded. Instantly, those wrist-binding chains dropped from his arms. Then another order: "Get your feet into those sandals." Done. "Next command: grab your coat, follow me. We're leaving." Was Peter sleepwalking? Could this just be one of those intense dreams? Did any of the guards blink in disbelief? Were their limbs and reflexes frozen, or were they grabbing a catnap? Things were going great for Peter until those impossible iron gates loomed before them. Impossible, impossible, really? Remote-controlled doors existed long before the 21st century. The Lord pressed a remote control button up in heaven, and without even a momentary transmission delay, those impossible gates swung open as if the hinges had just been freshly oiled. The angel walked with Peter down one street and then disappeared. Peter walks to Mark's mother's house. The candles were still burning brightly. Inside, the Christians were praying earnestly, "O Lord, protect Peter. Deliver him. We need him." A girl called Rhoda jumps up, runs to the door, hears Peter's voice, and is so excited she fails to even open the door. She interrupts the prayer meeting with her excited announcement, "Peter's here." They told her she was crazy. Peter continues to knock. Finally, they go to the door, and sure enough, Peter was standing on the doorstep and his head was still on his shoulders. How could Peter have slept in the prison? Maybe he knew it wasn't his time to die because the Lord had told him he would die by crucifixion, not by an executioner's sword. Or perhaps he had just committed his life and his times into the Lord's hand, saying, "Thy will be done, and now I will go to sleep, committing the entire matter into your hands. Either way, Lord, it's fine with me." That all-night prayer meeting certainly worked. Prayer works because chains, muscle guards, and heavy iron doors are not obstacles to the Lord. He has his remote control buttons to press, and when he presses the buttons, take encouragement today. God hears our prayers despite a less than robust faith on our part. They told dear Rhoda that she had gone mad when she excitedly told them Peter was truly at the door. When the Lord's answer is standing at our door, knocking, don't run back into the house. First, swing open the door and see it for your own eyes, and praise the Lord.